rescued me, sunk deep in sin. Guilty and vile as I could be, no hope within. When every ray of light had fled, oh glorious day, raising my soul from out the dead, love found a way. Love found a way to redeem my soul. Love found a way that could make me whole. Love sent my Lord to the cross of shame. Love found a way, oh, praise His holy name. Love brought my Savior here to die on Calvary. For such a sinful wretch as I, how can it be? Love bridged the gap twixt me and hath taught me to pray. I am redeemed, set free, forgive. Love found a way. Love found a way to redeem my soul. Love found a way that could make me whole. Love sent my Lord to the cross of shame. Love found a way, oh, praise His holy name. Love opened wide the gates of light to heaven's domain, wherein eternal power and mind Jesus shall reign. Love lifted me from depths of woe to endless day. There was no help in earth below. Love found a way. Love found a way to redeem my soul. Love found a way that could make me whole. Love sent my Lord to the cross of shame. Love found a way. Oh, praise His holy name. Love found a way. Oh, praise His holy name.
All right, it is good to be back here with you this evening, and we appreciate the opportunity once again to be able to stand behind the pulpit of Brother Angel and be able to preach to you tonight. I don't want to spend very much time on this at all tonight, but I do want to thank those of you that came by the table after the service this morning, and you picked up some things off the table. And again, I do want to assure you that everything that we make on the table, we put right back into the ministry, and primarily from now until the end of the year, we'll be going towards the ministry the Lord has given us over in the Philippines, and have been going over there for the last 3 years. And primarily we go over to the Mount Calvary Baptist Church in General Santos, Philippines, and preach for Brother Doug Sisson. And then we go from there and branch out to other areas and preach about 3 or 4 different revivals over there. And I guess the thing that I'm so fascinated with over in the Philippines is there's a wide open door in the public schools to the gospel, amen, and that just amazes me that America's kicking God out of our schools here, but we have the freedom to be able to do that. So everything that we make on the table goes towards that, and first of all, we purchase our tickets and pay for hotel rooms while we're over there, and then anything that we make above and beyond that, we give just a good love offering to Brother Sisson and the Mount Calvary Baptist Church, and they're absolutely doing a great work over there in General Santos, Philippines, in the middle of a building project and all that. So thank you, church. And again, all of our single CDs are $5 a piece, and then we have what we call the CD of the Month Club, and we have cards back there. You put your name and address on those cards, and it's $50 a year, And we'll give you the CD of this month, and then every month you'll have a brand new CD waiting for you in your mailbox. And just want to thank all of you that have already picked up things, and then we'll be back there at the end of the service. I believe Miss Faith Capps is also working the table until I get back there, and appreciate her doing that. Amen. Genesis in chapter number 49 tonight. Genesis in chapter number 49. We're going to get right into the message. Genesis in chapter number 49. I want to deal with the subject tonight that I believe, as Brother Bragg said just a little while ago, I don't know if they're here, I haven't seen them yet, but I do want to thank Brother Doyce and Miss Allen for taking me out to lunch today. Had a wonderful meal and appreciate the good fellowship with them. As Brother Bragg said a little while ago, I got saved 17 years ago at the Bethel Baptist Church there in Walls, Mississippi. And that's where I got saved, surrendered to preach, went to the little Bible college that we had there, married my wife and met her there and all those things. I met her before we got married, amen. But as of a couple of months ago, we moved to the Calvary Baptist Church and Boys Ranch there in Eufaula, Oklahoma. And I've been preaching meetings out there for about the last 5 or 6 years in evangelism. And Brother J.R. McDonald, my pastor, and I have become very good friends. And he asked me to pray about coming out there and working in the ministry. And they had a house there on property that they wanted to that they were paying utilities on, and just so it wouldn't just sit there and just ruin. So they invited us to come live there and also be able to add to the ministry of evangelism, trying to raise support for the ministry, and also we won't be able to do it this year because fulfilling my commitments that I already had on my calendar. But starting next year, about every 3 months, I'm going to set a week aside not only to be able to be at home in my own bed, but also to be able to try to be an influence and try to invest in the young boys and the men there at the boys ranch. And then we have about 22 boys that are at the ranch right now for troubled teens, and then we have about 25 men that are in our City of Refuge program there. So you pray for that ministry, just a great ministry for the Lord, and definitely the longevity there, and the influence of Lester Roloff to start that home by Jerry McDonald Sr. Now his son has taken over and doing a great work there. Amen. Genesis chapter number 49. If you find your place, let's all stand as we take reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Genesis chapter number 49. Everybody all right tonight? Amen. Everybody get a good Sunday afternoon nap. How many of you did not get a Sunday afternoon nap and you're mad about it? Amen. Amen. All right, I was able to get a nap this afternoon. Feel pretty good. We had all the delays with the airports and everything, and my wife finally got in the vehicle in Little Rock last night about 11:30, and she drove over to Conway, Arkansas, and stayed there, and she got there about 1. So I was up worrying about her, making sure she got there okay, and she made it home to Eufaula this afternoon about 5 o'clock, so we appreciate her. Amen. I wish she was with me. Not only wish she was with me physically, but second of all, I wish she was here to iron this shirt this afternoon and this morning. Amen. Genesis chapter number 49. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch." Look at verse number 33 now. The Bible says, "And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed, and yielded up the ghost, and was gathered unto his people. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we sure do thank you for church. Lord, thank you, Lord, for a place to be able to come and to escape the world. And Lord, to be able to be with like-minded folks, Lord, that love you, Lord, that are saved by the grace of God. Now, Lord, we come to you this evening. Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you would continue to bless the services here. And Lord, how our hearts have already been stirred, Lord, tonight as we've heard the good singing, the good congregational songs. And Lord, we again ask you, Lord, to bless the entire angel family as they're on vacation. Lord, give them a good time of relaxation. Lord, just give them a good time together, fellowshipping with family. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do in your precious name. Lord, bless tonight's service. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You'll find that here in the beginning of Genesis chapter number 49, that one of the great patriarchs, Jacob's his name, God called him Israel. You'll find that it's very evident that Jacob is at the end of his life. And in fact, in verse number 33 of Genesis chapter number 49, you'll find that Jacob does die. And in the early verses, he tells all of his sons to gather around so that he can give them his last words before he dies. Jacob calls all 12 sons to come to his bedside and tells them what their name represents, and because of what they've done and the life that they've lived, what shall befall them in the last days. The first son that Jacob calls to him is none other than his firstborn, Reuben. And what he says about Reuben in verse number 3 sounds pretty good. Amen. Look at verse number 3. Jacob says to Reuben, he says, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. That sounds pretty good. If those were the last words of my father, I think I could be pretty proud of my father saying those words to me. But you understand, those were not the last words that Jacob said to his firstborn Reuben. He says in verse number 4, he says, you're unstable as water, and thou shalt not excel. You understand, the word stable means not likely to change or fail. It means to be firmly established. It means to be fixed. David said in Psalm 108, verse number 1, he says, oh God, my heart is fixed. Other meanings of stable means to be secure. It means to be solid. It means to be strong. It means to be steady. It means to be firm, sure, steadfast, unwavering, unfaltering. But Jacob's last words to his firstborn Reuben were, you are unstable. Reuben, you're going to change. You are going to fail. Reuben, you're not firmly established. You're not fixed. You're not strong. You're not sure. You're wavering. Reuben, you're unstable. Jacob also tells Reuben, because of you being unstable, thou shalt not excel. The word excel means to surpass others or be superior in some respect or area. It means to do extremely well. It means to go further than others. In other words, excel means to go places in life. And Jacob tells Reuben, he says, Reuben, you're unstable. You're not secure. You're not steadfast. And because of that, you're not going to excel. You're not going to surpass others. You're not going to do well. He says, Reuben, you're not going to go anywhere in life. You understand this evening, church? The consequences of being unstable in life are, you're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to exceed. You're just going to tread water. You're just going to stay in the same old rut for the rest of your life. I don't know about you, but I sure would not want these to be the last words of my father before he dies. Can I say this tonight, as much as I hate to admit it? There was a time in my life, even though my dad used different words, he meant the same thing when he said, "Son, you're unstable and you're not going to go anywhere in life. You're just going to tread water." He said, "Son, you're going down a dead-end road of destruction and turmoil." And I'm sure it's safe to say here tonight that there's probably somebody under the sound of my voice, or a lot of, or maybe a few somebodies here tonight, that you're unstable in some areas. Maybe there's somebody that you're unstable in your salvation. Oh, you may raise your hand at invitation time that you're saved, but you know good and well, as you're sitting here tonight, that you don't have the assurance of your salvation. You know good and well if you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. Oh, you may have a date in the front of your Bible. You may remember following a group of young people to an altar some time ago and saying a prayer, but you don't have the peace that others do, and the songs that we sing about Jesus and the cross don't touch your heart like it does the one sitting next to you. And may I say tonight, you may be enduring the Christian life, but you're not enjoying it because you're simply not saved. But thank God tonight, you do not have to live life being unstable in your salvation. Amen. The Bible says, "These things that I have written unto you, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Unstable. As we talked about this morning, there may be somebody that's unstable in your submission and authority. Maybe you're unstable, young people, in your songs. Maybe there's some that are unstable in your separation. You understand? You say, "Well, Brother Dallas, how do I become stable? How do I excel in life?" Well, I'm glad you asked. In order to find out how not to be unstable, we have to find out what the root problem of being unstable is. So now turn your Bibles to James in chapter number 1. James in chapter number 1. Jacob told Reuben. He said, "Reuben, you're unstable as water, and thou shalt not excel." You understand, as we've already said, the consequences of being unstable is you're not going to excel. You're not going to go anywhere in life. Brother Dallas, how do I become stable? How do I just go ahead and be single-minded about this thing? First of all, look at James in chapter number 1. James in chapter number 1, verse number 8 says this: "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." You understand, a double-minded man is one that praises God on Sunday and cusses on Monday. A double-minded young person is one that sings in the teen choir this week and listens to rock and roll music the next week. You understand, a double-minded man, young man, is one that surrendered to preach last year at camp, and this year he thinks he's God's gift to the youth department and won't even lead in prayer tonight. A double-minded man is one that dedicates themselves to read the Bible every day, and the next thing you know, they're hooked to pornography. You understand, a double-minded young lady is one that made a promise to dress like a lady according to the Bible this week and what's pleasing to the Savior. And the next, they're wearing the clothing of the world just to catch the eye of the opposite sex. You understand, a double-minded husband is one that dedicates himself at a marriage altar to stay married to the same woman for a lifetime. And a double-minded man is the same one that will dedicate himself to stay married to the same woman, and yet thinking about other women and thinking about leaving this one for that one. That's a double-minded man tonight. And if a person is double-minded, the Bible says you're unstable in all your ways. And if you're unstable, the Bible says you're not going to excel. So let's deal with the root problem of being unstable. And I want to preach on this subject very quickly tonight. How to deal with being double-minded. How to deal with being double-minded. Brother Dallas, how do you deal with being double-minded? Well, first of all, can I say this? In order to become single-minded, in order not to be double-minded, you've got to make up your mind once and for all who you're going to live for, amen? I'm talking about not teetering on the fence, not having one foot in the world and one foot in the church. It does not work like that. We have to make up our mind once and for all who we're going to live for. Amen. Joshua chapter 24, verse number 15, the Bible says this, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," he says. You understand, the Bible also says that no man can serve two masters. Can I say tonight, we've got to make up our mind once and for all who we're going to live for, who we're going to serve. And I don't know about you, I've made my mind up tonight. I'm going to serve the one that saved my soul. Amen. I'll never forget, as a freshman in Bible college, during a chapel service, there was a preacher that got up and preached a pretty heated message. And there were some things that were going on at the college at that particular time, and just some character flaws of some young people. Some of the young men would not work a steady job, and they wouldn't pay their bills. They wouldn't show up for class. They were to write sermons out each week and wouldn't write sermons. And the preacher got up in a chapel service and pretty much either said, either get serious about God or go do something else with your life. And he pretty much preached along those lines. And I remember that same week, that same day after he preached chapel service, there was a half a dozen young preachers in that Bible college that left their Bibles behind in a classroom. And they left the Bible college and they went and done something else with their life. And they're still doing something else with their life instead of what God had called them to do. And I began to look at those young men, Brother Bragg, and I began to say, if those guys can't make it, there's no way in the world that I can. Some of those men, their dads are pastors. Some of those men know more scripture than I'll ever know. Some of those men can preach circles around me. And that Friday, I laid my Bible down in that Bible, same Bible college class, and I walked out determined to go do something else with my life. But thank God I had a preacher that cared about me. Thank God I had a preacher that loved me. Thank God I had a preacher that prayed for me and wept tears over me. And he came over to my house and he began to knock on the door. And he began to show me from the scripture where Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And I remember kneeling down there at my love seat there with my pastor with his arm around me. And him begging God that I would come back to college on that Monday. That was on a Saturday night. And I'll never forget that next Sunday morning, about 6 o'clock in the morning, I just tossed and turned all night wondering, was I going to go back and serve God or what I was going to do. And I remember getting up at dawn that Sunday morning and going to a little edge of the woods there on the property of Bethel Baptist Church in Wallace, Mississippi. And I knelt down my little stuff. I can take you to that same place tonight. And I made my mind up once for all. I didn't care who else quit or gave up or went on to do other things with their lives. And I may not be able to preach as well as this one or that one. And I may not have come from a Christian home. But by the grace of God, I'm going to serve God with the rest of the days of my life. And can I say tonight, possibly there's some young person here tonight or some adult, you're teetering the fence. You've got one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Why don't you go ahead and make up your mind tonight? You're going to be single-minded in serving the Savior. Brother Dallas, how do I deal with being single-minded? I'll tell you, first of all, how do I deal with being double-minded? You've got to make up your mind. Oh, dear God, give us some young people. Give us some adults that will once and for all commit themselves like the old songwriter wrote, "The world is behind me, the cross is before me, and I have decided to follow Jesus." Brother Dallas, how do you deal with being double-minded? You've got to make up your mind. Second of all, look at John chapter 15. John in chapter number 15. John in chapter number 15. The Bible says in verse number 3, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Brother Dallas, how do you deal with this thing being double-minded? First of all, you got to make up your mind. And second of all, you've got to cleanse your mind. Amen. The Bible also says in Psalm 119, verse number 9, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? But by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Can I introduce you to something tonight that will cause you to be stable in life? And as a consequence of being stable in life, it will cause you to excel. It will cause you to go places. It's called the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. Thank God tonight, this Bible right here will cleanse our minds and get all those thoughts out about serving God or not serving God, serving God or not serving God. Joshua said in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt have good success, and then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success, the Bible says. You understand tonight? Just like each and every one of us should take a physical bath each and every day. You young teenage boys, y'all get that, amen? We ought to take a physical bath every single day, amen? But just like we need a physical bath every single day, we need a spiritual bath every single day. Where we come in contact with the washing of the water by the Word, amen? I think about Daniel tonight. Daniel was a stable young man in a strange land. But the Bible says about Daniel that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. Can I say tonight we need a purpose in our heart that we will dedicate ourselves to read the Bible every single day and become single-minded about this thing of serving the Lord. We're talking about being double-minded. You understand tonight, church, before each and every one of us were saved, before we were saved, Satan was in an all-out attack against our soul. But the moment that we received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, Satan lost the battle for our soul. But can I ask us tonight, has Satan given up the battle? Has he given up the fight? Absolutely not. Even though he lost the battle for our soul, he's in an all-out attack, not for our soul tonight, but he's in an all-out attack against our mind, amen. And can I say tonight, this Bible right here will give us security to fight all the temptations of Satan. You understand? That's why we need to come in contact with the Word of God and let the Bible claim victory over our mind instead of Satan himself. Let's be reminded tonight that there's power in this old black book. Can we be reminded it was this Bible that had power to bring conviction upon our soul about salvation. It's this Bible that has power to call young men to preach. It's this Bible that has power to keep young people right with their parents. It's this Bible right here that has power to keep marriages strong and husbands faithful to their wives and wives faithful to their husbands. It's this Bible right here that has power to keep you singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. It's this Bible right here that'll keep you running your bus route and teaching your Sunday school class and being single-minded when it comes to serving God. We're talking about being single-minded. It's this Bible that will reveal God's will for your life. Listen to me clearly tonight. Any day that the child of God does not walk with God, you're leaving a wide-open door in your life for Satan to enter in and to wreak havoc. My friend, every single day we must come in contact with the washing of water by the Word. Brother Dallas, how do you deal with being double-minded? First of all, you've got to make up your mind. Second of all, you've got to cleanse your mind. Third of all, turn your Bibles to Romans in chapter number 12. Romans in chapter number 12. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It says, by the renewing of your mind. Brother Dallas, how do you deal with being double-minded? First of all, you got to make up your mind. Second of all, you've got to cleanse your mind. And third of all, you've got to find out what it is to renew your mind. You've got to reprogram your mind. I've got to reprogram my mind. You understand, whatever bad you took out of your life, you've got to replace it with something good. Amen. You understand, those of us that got saved later in life, everybody that gets saved by the grace of God, whether you was a young person or whether you was an older person that got saved, the old man is still just as much alive today as he's ever been. Thank God for those of you that got saved at a very early age and you didn't get into the deep, dark sin that all of us got into that got saved later in life. But can I remind us, those of us that got saved later in life, hey, that old man that used to drink, that old man that used to smoke dope, that old man that used to carouse with the heathen, he's just as much alive tonight as he's ever been, my friend. You've heard the saying, there's two natures that beat within our breast. The one is cursed, the other is blessed. The one I love, the other I hate. But the one I feed will surely dominate. And my friend, I don't want to feed to the old man that was headed to hell for 22 years of his life. I want to feed to the new man that's been saved by the grace of God. But I'm not going to be able to do that by feeding upon worldly things and feeding upon carnal things. I must do that by reprogramming my mind and feeding upon spiritual things. Amen. Let me ask you something tonight. I want to hold this up, and I want everybody to tell me what number this is. I understand mine may not look as good as yours, but what number am I holding up? I'm going to ask this side right here. This side, right side, what am I holding up? I've got to have more participation than that. Amen. Some of you are still taking that nap, amen. Look, what number am I holding up? Seven. Okay. One, two, three, four. Okay. Number one, what am I holding up? Come on now. Three. You understand? No matter how much I tell you to not think about the number seven, you're going to continue to think about the number seven because now it's ingrained in your mind. That's why we have to take the number seven out and we have to replace it with another number. What am I holding up now? You understand? You got to replace the bad you take out of your life with something good. So many times I come across young people and even adults, and I never overstep my boundaries. If a pastor asks me to maybe counsel with one of his church members or something, I'll do that. And many times I talk to young people that have problems with rock and roll, and adults that have problems with doing the things of the world, and they're saved by the grace of God. Heaven's their home. They'll never touch hell. They've got their fire insurance. They're saved by the grace of God just as much as you are and just as much as I am. But I'll talk to them. And young people say, well, Brother Dallas, I still have problems with rock and roll. I still have problems with the things of the world. Adults say, I still have problems with going out and drinking and doing this and doing that. And I ask them, I say, how's your walk with the Lord? How's your Bible reading? How's your prayer life? How's your soul winning? How's this and how's that? They say, well, Brother Dallas, I never really read my Bible. I never really pray. I never really do any of those things. And people say all the time, well, Brother Dallas, I'm not going to think about the bad music. I'm not going to think about the pornography. I'm not going to think about the drugs. I'm not going to think about the alcohol. My friend, you may not think about those things, but the first time temptation comes along your way, if you don't put something good, what you took bad out, you're going to go right back to the same old things that you've ever done. I'm going to go back to the same old things. That's why we've got to renew our mind. That's why we've got to reprogram our mind and take the bad that we took out, we have to replace it with something good. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter number 1. First Peter in chapter number 1 tonight. I brought a little bit of this out in the college and career class this morning. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 13. We're talking about the mind tonight. How not to be double-minded. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 13 says this. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind. First of all, you said, Brother Dallas, how do you deal with being double-minded? First of all, you got to make up your mind. Second of all, you got to cleanse your mind. Third of all, you've got to renew your mind. And number four, you've got to find out what it is to guard your mind. The word gird means to protect. You've got to ask God to protect your mind. You've got to ask God to fix your mind upon godly things and heavenly things. Paul said, let this mind be in you. You understand, Paul also said that I die daily. Every single one of us here tonight, young people and adults alike, we need to have a funeral service. And that funeral service is the funeral service of self. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You understand, every single day, we need to find out what it is to die to this old flesh and be led by the Spirit of God and ask God to guard our mind upon worldly things. I told the college and career class every single day of my life to the best of my ability. I go to God and say, God, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, I ask you to allow me to die to myself, die to my wants, and die to my desires. And Lord, I want to have your wants and your desires for my life. And I go to God from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, and I offer my life up in pieces to Him as a sacrifice. I'll say, Lord, I ask you to take my mind. Paul said, let this mind be in you. Lord, don't let me think upon carnal things or worldly things, but Lord, allow me to have a mind fixed upon heavenly things. Talking about pieces. God, take my eyes and don't let me look upon anything or see anything that I should look upon or see. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Talking about pieces. God, take my ears and don't let me listen to anything or hear anything that I should listen to or hear. Talking about pieces. God, take my mouth and don't let me talk about anything or say anything that I shouldn't talk about or say. Talk about pieces. God, take my arms and my hands and don't let me pick up anything or touch anything that I shouldn't pick up or touch. Talk about pieces. God, take my heart and cleanse it and make it pure and holy and allow me to be a clean vessel that can be used by you. Talk about pieces. God, take my legs and my feet and don't let me walk any place or step any place that I shouldn't walk into or step into. You say, Brother Dallas, why do you do that? I'll tell you why. Because my flesh is wicked. It's vile. It's sinful. And I don't want the flesh to rule and reign my life, but I want the Spirit of God to rule and reign my life. Amen. We've got to guard our mind. Satan doesn't care how he gets us knocked off kilter, just as long as he does get us knocked off. And my friend, he's in an all-out attack against our mind tonight. First of all, tonight, how do you deal with being double-minded? You've got to make up your mind. You've got to cleanse your mind. You've got to renew your mind. You've got to gird up your mind. And lastly tonight, look at Philippians in chapter number 2. Look at Philippians in chapter number 2. Can I say this tonight? If we don't get this last point, none of the other points are going to work. We must get this last point first before any of the other ones will work. Look at Philippians in chapter number 2. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Paul said, but in lowliness of mind. How do you deal with being double-minded, Brother Dallas? First of all, you've got to make up your mind. Second of all, you've got to cleanse your mind. Third of all, you've got to renew your mind. Number four, you've got to gird up your mind. And lastly, but we've got to get this one first, you've got to come to God with a humble mind. Can I say we're not going to be able to go to God with all that we've accomplished in the Lord. We're not going to be able to go to God and think about what our last name is or what position we may hold in the church. We're not going to be able to go to God with the frame of mind of how long our name's been on the church membership roll. We're going to have to go to God real that we were a sinner destined to a place called hell. But by God's grace and God's mercy, He saved our soul. And the only goodness about us is because of the goodness that God has bestowed upon us. And have a humble mind for us to be single-minded about this thing of serving the Lord and living for the Lord. deal with it all the time. People want to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. They're tossed to and fro. And they're teetering the fence. Can I say eventually, you're going to give in to one or the other. And my friend, I don't know about you. I want to just go ahead and give in to the Lord that saved my soul tonight. Amen. Jacob told Reuben. He said, Reuben, you're unstable as water. He said, you're not fixed. You're not secure. You're not steadfast. And because of you being unstable as water, you're not going to excel. You're not going to go anywhere in life. You're just going to tread water, Reuben. Those are the last words that Jacob told Reuben. As much as I hate to say this tonight, again, my dad, even though he may have used different words, he meant the same thing that Jacob said to Reuben. But thank God those were not the last words that my dad said to me. God saved me, be 17 years in the 16th of this month. Before God saved me, I went through 5 drug rehabs and in and out of jail. My life was a complete mess. I ended up living in my car as a dope-addicted bum at a rest area in a little place called Hernando, Mississippi. And that was at the time of my life where my dad said those words, son, you're going down a dead-end road of destruction and turmoil. I sat in the sheriff's office with my mom and dad of DeSoto County, Mississippi, and I was about a 19-year-old boy, and the sheriff looked at my mom and dad and said, your son will be dead by the time he's 25 years old if he doesn't change the way he's living. I got word at 22 years old that my mom and dad were headed on a weekend vacation to Hot Springs, Arkansas. And as soon as I found out that they left town, I went over to their home, broke in their home, and stole everything I could get my hands on in order to feed the habits that I had in my life. Pulled back up to my mom and dad's house on Monday and acted like nothing had happened. The dope was gone. The money was gone. I pulled up to their house and walked up the driveway. And my dad said, Chris, he said, we're not going to call the cops on you anymore. We're not going to pack your bags and take you back to rehab. He said, as far as your mom and I are concerned, he said, you're no longer welcome here. He said, I'm going to give you 10 minutes to leave here. He said, I've already been down to the police station today and signed a restraining order where you can't even come within 100 yards of the house. That was 17 years ago. My dad said, son, he said, you're unstable. He said, you're not secure at anything. He said, you're just treading water. You're not going to go anywhere in life living the life that you're living. That was 17 years ago. A couple years ago, my wife and I were at home for a couple of days in between meetings. And we were about to make the long journey from Memphis, Tennessee to North Carolina to start a whole month, a series of revival meetings in North Carolina. And as we were traveling to North Carolina, we had a couple of days to spare before I had to be to my next meeting. And we went the northern route to North Carolina, and going the northern route, you have to go through a little town that many people know about called Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And my mom and dad go there 3 or 4 times a year, and they were on vacation in Gatlinburg, Tennessee at that particular time when we were traveling from Memphis to North Carolina. And they knew that we were traveling, and my dad called me. And he said, Chris, he said, I know you got a couple days to spare on your itinerary before you have to be to the next meeting. He said, why don't you and Nikita come and spend a couple days of vacation with us? 17 years ago, there was a restraining order where I couldn't even go within 100 yards of the house. But 2 years ago, after salvation, they were inviting us to go on vacation with them. Amen. We went in and spent some time on vacation with them, and we went to some outlet malls and did all those things. And the last day that we were there, my dad and I were just plumb tuckered out. We were tired shopping and doing all those things. We were just sitting in the car, and my mom and Nikita were inside the outlet stores shopping. And my dad said, Chris, he said, you got any of your latest preaching CDs with you that I haven't heard yet? And I said, I've got a few. I said, you want some? He said, yeah, I'd like to have some. And I gave my dad some sermon CDs, and then a few hours later, Nikita and I had to leave, and we were going to go on to North Carolina. We got on the road, and a couple hours later, the phone rang, and it was my dad on the other end. And my dad made 2 statements to me. He said, Chris, he said, you sure did give it all you got when you preach. And before I could even think, I said, Dad, For 22 years of my life, I gave it all I had to Satan. And now, by the grace of God, I'm going to give it all I've got to God. And then my dad made a statement to me that has stuck with me ever since he said it. He said, Chris, he said, ever since you made your mind up to live for God, God has taken you places far beyond your imagination. And can I say tonight, young person, can I say tonight, adult, if you'll just go ahead and make up your mind, you're not going to teeter the fence. You're not going to live for Satan and try to live for the Lord. But you're going to be single-minded and serving God and living for Him. God will take you far beyond your wildest imagination tonight. Why don't we make up our mind once and for all that we're going to be single-minded and living for the Lord. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. All across this room, I just simply want to know who I could pray for. I wonder who would say, Brother Dallas, as much as I hate to admit it tonight, to be honest with myself and to be honest with God, I've been double-minded in some areas in my life. And Brother Dallas, God has dealt with my heart tonight to once and for all go ahead and make up my mind that I'm going to be single-minded when it comes to this thing about living for the Lord. Brother Dallas, I'm tired of being double-minded. I want to start being single-minded. I wonder if that's your testimony tonight. If you just slip up your hand just so I know who I can pray for. I see those hands all across the building. I see those hands. I see those hands. I see those hands. I wonder, as we talked about cleansing your mind, who would honestly say, Brother Dallas, for me to be honest with myself and be honest with God, I'd have to testify tonight, and I'd ask you to pray for me, that I'm not as consistent as I need to be when it comes to cleansing my mind with the Word of God on a daily basis. Brother Dallas, I may read the Word of God 2 or 3 days a week, and then I'll miss 4 or 5, and then go another couple of days, and then miss another week. But Brother Dallas, would you pray for me that I'd find out what it is to be consistent in the Word of God, and let the Word of God cleanse my mind every single day. I wonder if that's your testimony, if you just slip up your hand tonight. I see those hands. I see those hands. God sees those hands. As we all stand all across the building tonight, as the pianist begins to play, as we stand across the building tonight, if you raised your hand for one reason or another, or maybe you didn't raise your hand, why don't you just step out right where you're at? Maybe let's pray for some others tonight. Maybe there's somebody here tonight on the sound of my voice. There's never been a time you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Said, Brother Dallas, if I were to die tonight, I'm not certain that I'd go to heaven. Would you please pray for me? If that's your testimony, would you just lift up your hand? I just want to know who I can pray for. Brother Dallas, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you please pray for me? Young man, are you single-minded or are you double-minded tonight? Young ladies, going off to Bible college or going off to college this year, have you made your mind up who you're going to live for? What about it tonight, adult? What about it tonight, dad, mom? Sure wouldn't want these to be the last words of my father. Single-minded.